evening, Patriots. It's a fine Wednesday evening. And in breaking news, the United States continues to fall apart. The world has lost its mind, and the hand puppet show known as Joe Biden and company with their Muppet player, Kamala Sleepyback Harrison, yeah, they still think they're in charge. And, even better, a whole bunch of people who took the injection are walking around like dead zombies believing that as well. It's a wonderful day. It's kind of like Mr. Rogers. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. A wonderful day in the neighborhood. Won't you be mine? You betcha. Big Pharma's famous saying, won't you be mine? I owe it to you. Just come join us. You'll be mine. Your soul will be mine forever. It's great. Love it. But, there's another little thing to keep in mind. And what is that? The one thing that makes us happy every single day? It is, what? It is MyPillow. And why do we like MyPillow? Because of all the people in our nation right now that probably has the most positive attitude on the outcome of all things, it is Mike Lindell. I'll give him tons of credit. That man is a never-ending engine of positivity. He's super. He's good. And he makes great stuff, like my slippers, my pillows, my doggy beds, all sorts of good stuff. And what else has he done? He gave the Bard's family, and he did, he gave the Bard's BDAD family a fantastic code. It's called Bard's, B-A-R-D-S. And what do you get with that? You go right over and you use that on their website, mypillow.com, and you type in Bard's, B-A-R-D-S, and what happens? Just like an instantaneous reduction of cost, just like that, boom. And all your MyPillows get cheaper and all your MySlippers get cheaper and you go, look at all that money I saved. I'm going to go buy some more stuff because we all do that anyway. We all like doing that. Every one of us loves it. I don't care if you want to admit it or not. You know, doggone well that when you say like, well, look at that. I could save money. I could buy another one of those things. It's like, yeah, buy it for friends and family. So get on over to MyPillow. Use the Bard's code. It's fun. It's great. We're supporting one of America's best companies right now, and I mean it. This is a CEO that loves Christ, loves God, loves our nation, gives unbelievable to everything he does, and I'm humbled that he's letting us advertise for him. So give him some great support. 40% off when you use Bard's code, and it's 800-975-2939. If you want to call and talk to somebody. And when you talk to him, if you do call, you got to tell him, it's like, do you know where I got this code? You're going to be like, I don't know where. You're like, I'm a BDAD, man. I'm Bard's family. The bestest podcast on the whole web. So let them know. And when you go and you make those great comments, because you're going to love their products anyway, you got to put up stuff like, I came from Bard's because we are the best family in the whole worldwide web. That's what you got to tell them. So rock it. We are the bestest. I don't even know if that's a word, but I like it. I used it the other night. It's kind of like huge, but it's all good. All right, so remember, Bard's is your code, B-A-R-D-S. Get over to MyPillow and support Mike Lindell, his fantastic company. They're great products and they're wonderful people. So that's your mission, Patriots, if you choose to accept it, which of course you will because we rock. We're like the best whole family on the entire internet. Nobody rocks the web like we do. And why so? Because when we rock the internet, we rock it with the love of Christ. Make it shake. The evil satanic core goes, what in the world is happening over on Podbean? They're like, oh, they're back. The AIs, you hear the AIs sigh. What? Where are they? Can we get to them? No, they're insulated. They're over on Podbean. They're bringing the love of God into the internet. Oh, and you can hear the AI shake. Yeah, anyway. Okay. Here we go. And this is going to be an interesting show. The question I have, and I'm going to ask, it is the question I think we need to be asking every single person out here that we encounter, especially those that are deciding to take the injection. Why are you here? Why are you here? It is very important time to reflect on that question. if a person is sitting right now in fear or afraid of their life ending soon because of a flu that got renamed a pandemic that has a death rate of less than 1%, there's something fundamentally wrong with their place in terms of relationship with God and their faith. It's that simple. And this, I was talking to somebody today I respect a lot, and they've done a lot of work. I mean, they're a prolific writer, and researcher of around biblical themes and around the Bible. And as we're talking, I said, you know, and we were in agreement. We were just sharing this discussion. I said, you know, we're in a place right now where a lot of the mainstream Christian belief is trying to give excuses to those who accepted Christ in their life and then have now taken the injection. And I've even heard quotes recently of people saying, like, we need to give them some grace. They were deceived. I'm not giving them any grace. I'm just going to be clear about this. I'm going to go double down hard on anybody in the faith that walked away and took an injection and walked away from God. It's a choice. And of all things, when you turn away, when you know Scripture and you know what's said in Scripture and you walk away from Scripture, that's more than a choice. As much as people may not want to hear it, it's a slap in the face to God. I read this last night, and I'm going to reread this tonight. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. To me, I mean, I've reflected on this a lot lately, and I'm going through and saying to myself, like, what can I do better? One, I'm just open testimony here. There was a point in my life I was working out 2 and 3 hours a day. I don't these days. I work out about half an hour a day. But I was rigorously looking at, you know, this is the temple. I'm going to find time to get back to at least an hour and a half a day, because, and I'm making the time. I have to, because this is part of the temple we're given. We literally have to keep this temple in good shape in many levels. It isn't not just the physical, obviously. The spiritual is just as important as the physical, as is the ability to build up your immune system, which is part of the physical. And all of these things go together. And we have to take that commitment, because it is the temple in which we are given to nourish and to cherish. So when people are taking this injection, they're making a choice to just turn their back on that. They're trying to turn God from the potter to the clay. And that can't be. I mean, that just doesn't work. And we're arriving at a place where I think as well that people are starting to lose focus, and there's a lot of silly games going on in our world right now. You know, and it's like dumb relationship stuff, or there's you know, petty little fights going on. And I include include the Patriots out here. All right. We have to start beginning to ask ourselves first and foremost where our love begins. And our first love must always be Christ. That is the war we are in. This is the world that we are in. And this is the reason we are here, is to expand the kingdom of God. So if we're going to be out here playing patty cake and teenage love affairs and doing flirtatious, stupid junk in our lives and playing around and not staying focused on what the reason we're here, I'm asking all people out there, why are we here? This is a serious time. And whether you like it or not, we've put into a place where we're literally trying to save humanity. Now, I don't know where this is going, and I can assure you that this isn't going to go as we expect, nor is it going to be an easy walk. For one thing, we have divided the world in such a way that there is no going back from this. I respect those that are out here trying to say that we're going to come be united, we're going to be all whole again. Not unless God does some hand trick, which is, I'm not saying God can't. But let's get clear. There is a large percentage of this population that's making a choice of free will to walk away from God, to change their genetics and turn themselves into a transitionary human, into the new state of humans. If you remember the interview, and it struck me today how accurate this was, Celeste, I had her on a few weeks ago, she used to work for FEMA. She made the comment that they had already queued up humans 2.0. And I was trying to figure out what she was talking about, and it struck me today that we're witnessing human 2.0. It's happening right now. They're getting these people injected, and they keep pushing for this 70%. What is that? The 70% is the control point. Once they get 70%, they control it. And what they're putting into people is the base of the transition to transhumanism. And once they start that process, there's no going back. It's one thing when you hear about this stuff, it's entirely another, and I'm not in no way trying to be pedestalize myself for this, but when you've been around this tech for real in the labs, and then you see it out here, you're like, ooh, this is not good. The place that we have to ask ourselves again is, why are we here? If you're here right now to get online and have some sort of flirtatious relationship, or if you're going to get out here and you're going to play some pinky love affair or whatever you're going to do, take a breath for a minute, because it's about focusing in this time and this place. If you're going to be all dialed up because of one little petty thing over another, the neighbor didn't smile at you the right way, the cat didn't come over and rub against your leg this particular day. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I could come up with a dozen lists of stupid, ridiculous things that people get worked up over. And then, of course, what do? They go to social media and they play it out. This is a time right now that every single person in this world is in a fight for their life. The problem is there is a large percentage of people that don't get that. They just think this is another little romantic walk in Wally Beaver's world, where we just get a shot and everything's going to be okay. And it's a pretty sad state of affairs. I mean, I wrote this today. I'm just going to give you a perspective on kind of where things are. And it strikes me because there's so much naivety in the world, and there's so much playing around. It's kind of like, we need to be out here and we need to be those watchers on the wall. And there's always this time to just kind of play around and be goofy. And we're seeing it. I mean, I love to have fun, but the focus always has to come back to the same place of, why are we here? And we are here because God has us here for this time and this place because of the magnitude of what we're facing. So consider this. And it's just, listen to how I wrote this. There once was a country called the United States. Its last president was Donald J. Trump. He gave the people a vision of hope, but the people rejected it when the flu came and made them feel afraid. The people decided that being American was only good if you could reject God and embrace salvation, or freedom, maybe a better term, from an injection created by Big Pharma. Trump left office and the United States died without even a shot being fired, its people conquered and remotely controlled by the titans of power who never stopped laughing at how easy it was. And while there were some patriots chasing proof of the rigged election, the biggest secret of all was that the titans of power no longer needed to rig an election, because they now controlled 70% of the population that had accepted their injection to save themselves from the flu. That, patriots, is the reality of our world right now. And it's a point where every one of us needs to take a step back and ask ourselves what we're doing in this fight every single day. I consider people in this fight brothers and sisters of Christ. And that's my focus, is to give my heart to Christ in this fight, to never end, to never waver, and to stay in this fight until the day it's done. Whether I see the end of that or not is irrelevant to me. When I say to you, and I mean what I say, that I'm going to throat punch the devil, I'm sure going to try, and I'm going to do it with ferocity, fearlessly, because I know I've got God with me. And the head has to be, your head has to be in this game. It's easy to get distracted when we're sitting with appears to be a fight that's on the outer edges of reality. It's not touching us. But the thing to keep in mind, that what the devil has done in the evil, you know, and however you want to frame that, Lucifer, devil, evil, darkness, however, whatever fits your lexicon, there's been a very devious hand at play. And it's what has distorted so much of this. And what has happened is that over our lifespan, this darkness has put our dependency, which I will use as codependency, on a state, a codependency on a corporation, a codependency on many things. So in our own lives, we have come even to our relationships where we create codependencies. And in all that process, the concept of agape love, the true love of God through and loving God through all things, it gets washed away. It gets pushed out of our reach. So like even when we say the word love, you can just, so many, you can feel the bristles in the back of their neck going, oh man, I don't want to hug somebody. That has nothing to do with the power of love in which Christ gives us. Love is such a powerful, powerful force of appreciation and seeing God in all things and living through that place of God in all things. And this, what this darkness or Luciferian state has done is it's taken everything related to love and it's turned it into some version of, can you get in bed with me? Can I have a date with you? And am I interested in you because of how you look? That's pretty much what has happened. And in so doing, we have lost touch with one of the most fundamental connections of God and the power of God in the relationship in our life. Our relationship in the world, as it centers on Christ through all things, is an appreciation and a true deep love connection of God through all those things. And yet, if you look at everything the Luciferian state does, and you have to really dig into it. You don't even have to dig into it, actually. Just look at everything they do. Do you notice how every single thing they do in one way or another is related to sex? And, I mean, even look at these shots. What are they trying to do? They're trying to make people infertile. And they are. They're successfully doing it. Everything in Hollywood is about sex. Everything in Hollywood is always trying to make yourself look younger. The attraction that they try to build is everybody younger is more attractive. Everything about our world is shaped in one way or another by the Luciferian focus on a perception of sexuality and sex. Why is that? And I would challenge you to give me an example that is not true to that. Every ad you see in one way or another is going to be an allurement of sexuality. It's designed that way. Why? And of course, you have that other side, which is sex and violence. Violence always has to go with it because the two go hand in hand. Why do they go hand in hand? Because they are completely opposite of everything that God is. Everything in this world is. They've inverted everything. And so what happens is as we fall into those traps, in that inversion we live in, it is a place where we have developed a relationship based on the physical, the emotional, non-substantive, We break the covenants of God, the beauty and glory of what he gave us. We no longer listen to God when we build relationships. We just willy-nilly build them. And our whole life becomes this fragile architecture of materialism that becomes our form of worship. And that's where the whole house of cards is about ready to come down. Right now, if you do not have a rock-solid relationship with God and a rock-solid relationship with Christ in your life, I am going to tell you in the coming months and years, hear what I just said, years, because this isn't just going away, Patriots. This is not going to just suddenly be like a little Band-Aid taken off. It's like, oh, that hurt, Johnny. Yeah, a little bit, is that, but it's okay now. I'm all better. No, you're not going to be all better come August, come September. When we are where we are going is going to take time. There is going to be an enduring fight here to save humanity, and I don't know where that goes. What I know is I don't care what this ship looks like. I know where I'm never going to be, and I'm never, ever going to be in that turd hole of dirtbaggery that calls itself Luciferian Order, nor am I going to be part of their injection scheme to try to transition me to a transhuman. We have to, when we start to look at each other as brothers and sisters of Christ, I'm going to get very raw here for a minute. You don't kiss your brother on the lips. You don't kiss your sister on the lips. My point of that is there is a true respect for who they are when you say that, because you can love somebody with the love of Christ. And you can have that respect for somebody and work with somebody and have that great relationship of trust with somebody because they are a brother or sister in Christ. That is how we need to be looking at one another. And that means that when we're engaging in our lives, we're looking at that respect and that mutual respect that comes back that way as someone who's a child of God, not as some sexualized object that has some other objection to it. I mean, this is the problem that the trap we end up with is because everything in our life has been distorted in this programming matrix we've been in that in some way or another always comes down to some sort of sexual allure. And it's absolutely wrong. And they continue to play that game. They're trying to get where everything is always like, oh, be careful what you say. It's like, you don't have that problem when you're coming from the basis of God's true love. Everything about how we are in life needs to relate to one another as in the relationship of Christ and our love of Christ within us to share that with another brother or sister of Christ. And unfortunately, we even see it in our churches. I mean, how many people do you go out there and they're like, oh, that was, man, I'd like to have a date with her, or I'd have like, did they have a date with him? I mean, it's disgusting. What is that? What is that? Like the house of worship becomes like, you know, my Christian dating site or what? We have to evolve here from the primal nature in which they have kept us in. I need to say this. Every one of us, every single one of us on this planet has been subjected to a programming which is designed to keep the dominant force within us lustful and primal in nature, as if we are savage animals trying to mate and procreate without restraint. That is the nature of their programming. Versus these amazing creations of God's children who love all things through God, and then God guides them to be together as need be. And as that begins to evolve through the blessings of God, a family is created, and for some and not for others, and the kingdom of God in all things is expanded. through the giving of all things. We are trying to build a new world here. We are trying to build a new vision. It is a new vision based on a principle of God's rules and doings, which is a giving economy. And we say this, and those in the financial markets are like, yeah, right, dude, you're never going to make any money doing giving. No, I'm not going to make any money because I don't make money. God provides all wealth. God will provide all wealth. And in doing so, I will continue to live in God's way, to give to others, to give selflessly to others. And in so doing, God will provide all that I need. Not how much I can accumulate in my 401k until the financial markets fall on their face and the fiat currency implodes and you have nothing and the worship that you've had there in your temple of retirement goes away in a puff of smoke. Or better yet, hey man, I'm making a whole bunch of money on the big pharma like Pfizer right now. I'm making a ton of money on my stock. Have you seen that? They're going to do $16 million in injections this year without any moral attachment to the damage that they're doing to an entire human genome. So it's never been about financial wealth. It's always been about spiritual wealth and a trust in God that will bring us to where we need to be. And God didn't say life in this life here was going to be easy. And it's also about us helping one another. We have to stay focused on our relationship with God and what that means in our relationships with one another. It's how we are going to build this way forward. If we trip on this, we're not going to have a chance to win this. I mean this fully in everything I say. If we are going to keep playing the games with one another, trying to be a little bit of what we were and trying to bring in a little bit of that into what we're trying to be, we're wasting our time. This is going to take some very bold commitments. This is going to take some very bold and deep relationship rewrites in terms of where we put our priorities in our life. And I think it's an important place that we all have to reflect upon. When we give our heart to Christ, it is where it needs to be at all times, and let things be trusted that it will guide you in all that you do. It takes not just a backbone, it takes a spine. And you have to have the courage to proclaim who you are, what your beliefs are, without fear. You can't hide in the shadows anymore and kind of lurk around and try to whisper like, I like this. It's like, what do you, I believe. Oh, I'm a believer. What? Huh? What? That's where we've been. Not now. When you say, however you say these words, because I complimented everybody last night. It was really beautiful to watch how many people proclaimed their relationship with Christ in each of their beautiful ways. When you say, as I, whatever version this is for you, that I'm a warrior of Christ. That's something that means something in every cell of my body. It's how I walk in the world. It's how I relate to others. It's how I stand on this rock that God gave me called the rock of faith as he stands behind me. And I don't say it lightly. So if we are all coming from the same place, we develop one of the most essential pieces, which is trust. We don't need to be ambushed with something breaking the covenant of the rules of God. And we're going to need more trust than ever going forward here. We have to know that as an army, as a remnant, that we can rely on one another to be there for the right reasons and the right intentions. And that has to be your commitment to why we are here. To grow God's kingdom. And to defeat evil. Not everybody may get on the defeat evil wagon. That's okay. I'll be out there. I'm going to punch the hell out of the devil. I'm just going to beat the snuggers out of him. But that's okay. Actually, that would be a pretty good feat. I have to just realize what I said. That would be a pretty good feat. Could you imagine literally beating the hell out of the devil? I'd probably get him to repent by the time we got through. It's like, whoa, that worked pretty well. It's like, okay, you got yourself a job. Well, thank you very much. I told you before already, I'm not going to be down in Gitmo. I'm going to be like, there's no more waterboarding? No, there's no more waterboarding. We call this Salvation Gitmo. Really? Yeah, because I guarantee you, when they get through in the day with me in that room, they're either going to accept Jesus or they're going to meet God. But one way or another, they're going to have a good end of their day. I'll tell you. So in all seriousness, patriots, keep the focus on where our relationship is with God and keep that in the question before you of why you are here. What we're witnessing here, I don't have. I had a really good talk with Bear earlier today, and our wonderful Bear mod, Bear. We like Bear. Bear Claw Bear. And we were chatting about this, about, you know, the book of Revelation and the end. And you know how I am about not getting into the book of Revelation. And it's primarily because it's a focus of the fight for me. And we had just a very good conversation about this. And I'm probably going to take Bear's recommendation and I'm going to go through the book of Revelation as I see it, just to give you another perspective on what is a very powerful text. And I think that would be a healthy thing. But the point is, the reason I stay away from it, as I've said before, is too many people become obsessed about two things in the book of Revelation. One is trying to predict timelines, which drives me out of my mind, because that is absolutely against everything that God speaks about. And the other is the obsession with trying to, people obsess over the timelines, it is kind of twofold. One is the way that can quickly get turned into trying to bring people to Christ through fear, which is absolutely wrong. And I've just had too many experiences along that way. And the question of what are you accomplishing when you try to map out all these things. All that said, that's me speaking, not judging others that do it, but that's how I say it and see it. However, it's probably, as I have said even recently, heard me say a couple of nights ago, if I was going to sit back without any knowledge other than a few little tidbits of the book of Revelation, and I'm looking at the laydown of where things are right now, this is the conclusion. And I was doing this. I'm like, okay, what do you see happening before you? What would be the logical outcome of what you see before you? And this is literally what I'm witnessing, and I think we can all agree. From what we're seeing and the number of people that are rejecting God and walking over into this worship of an injection, I would say we're headed right into some point where they're going to try to introduce some sort of fake God, which would be what? The Antichrist. I'm pretty much there. Like, yep, we're getting pretty close. It's like, well, here we go. This is going to be another one. Man, these people never stop. They have all stops out. So anyway, the point is to keep our head in this fight for what we're trying to be here for, okay? Trying to predict ends and trying to know what the timing is. God, only God has the timing. Our primary mission in this world is to live by God's laws. Love thy neighbor as I love ourselves, as we want to be loved. Help those in need and give voice and protection to those that can't be, that have no voice. Above all, live without fear and know that God will take care of you in all things. And then there is this, which is probably one of the biggest things to carry with us as we think of our days each and every day. Ezekiel 33. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from among them and make him their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning, his blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are not warned, the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. We are the watchers of the wall. We are the watchmen. And our responsibility is huge. Don't take it lightly. Don't get distracted. Right now, more than ever, we have an obligation and a requirement to be voicing the truth, regardless of whether they choose to hear. We see the threat coming. Don't stop talking from the tops of the wall. Speak truth. Stay focused. Keep Christ in your heart. Let the love of God guide you in all things. All of those things that we want, we desire, we want that easy life, that the biscuits in the morning, the cup of coffee, as they come, they come. But we're in a war right now, a war for the sake of humanity. And we need to be in that war zone. And I don't know how long it's going to be. But I know that if we're not, our head is not in that game, this evil will win. And that cannot be. It must be vanquished and it must be destroyed. Be the watchman. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've come together to reflect deeply on our station in life, to ask the question, a bold question of why we are here. And as we reach to that question, to place ourselves firmly in your hold, to place ourselves firmly in your trust, and to let go of our expectations and our shaping and our concerns of this material world, knowing that our primary purpose in this life is to grow your kingdom. Lord, let us live by your laws, to love our neighbors as we would want to be loved, to help those in need, to give voice to the innocent and protection to the innocent, and above all, to live without fear. Lord, we ask that you'll guide us, protect us, provide us with the wisdom and of eyes to see and the ears to hear as we navigate these times and the days ahead, to uphold your love and your blessings that are within us in every step and breath we make. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. All right, Patriots. It's a lot on our plates and it's a lot of us to take in, but that's part of us growing up. We're no longer children in this world. We're soldiers in God's army. We've all been conscripted in a beautiful way. And that means that we have to start acting like soldiers. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Keep your prayers up. Keep focused. Be the watchman on the wall. Never stop speaking truth. It's not whether someone hears you. It's that you are speaking the truth and calling out what you see coming. It's hard to be that person. But through the strength of God, we can be that person and never waver. God will never forsake us. In fact, the more that we step into that place, the more strength God will give us. And in the end, God will win and we'll be there with him. I'll see you tonight at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Until then or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again.
Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples, it has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, In God we trust. We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.